Blog Talk Radio. Peace and blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad. Peace and blessings. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome aboard. I'm so glad you all can join me on a Sunday evening. I hope everybody had a peaceful, powerful, and productive weekend. A lot of good things happened this weekend. Certainly good things going on this end. So I hope that you all were doing just as well on your end, too. I'm excited about this show. We got wonderful things lined up. I just spoke to our guest. He's out as normal taking care of business, so he's going to join us after the 8 o'clock break that we take. Make sure that he's settled, and he'll make sure that he comes on, and we're going to pack as much information as we can in the span of 60 minutes. So in the meantime, until he comes, I'm going to be sharing some of the goodies that I have for you. And if I do this right, I'll be able to get his mom and his grandma to chime in also. If I happen to see their numbers in the control panel, I sure will accidentally open up somebody's microphone, and we'll have to hear some of the wisdom that they all have to share. But initially, when they told me about what they do and who they are, I was impressed from afar. I had to, you know, get up close and personal and find out as much as I could about all of them and, you know, what they do. I've never encountered a whole family of entrepreneurs. The grandmom is an entrepreneur, the mom is an entrepreneur, and her son is an entrepreneur. We're going to be hearing from Dante X. Williams of Global Cleaning Services, LLC, and he's going to share with us some of the information, some of the teachings, some of the wisdom that he grew up with. I mean, I think he said he saw his grandmom operating a business, cleaning business, you know, from the time that he was a little boy. So he got it honest. And then his mom is, I believe she's doing a hair salon, which is, you know, I guess as successful as a hair salon can be, because she's maintaining on her own and doing her thing as well. So in a brief conversation with him, and I'm sure he'll tell his story when he gets on, I recall him saying that when he graduated, he was just determined to not have to go and work for somebody else, not to give all of that energy and time away, but instead put that into taking care of himself. And as a matter of fact, you know, in the last 10 years, maybe 15 years, the norm has been that college graduates come out and it's very unlikely they're going to find a job in their field anyway. So the best bet for a college student is to come out, get the information that you can, get the knowledge that you can, and go to work forming a job or a business for yourself instead of waiting for somebody else to give you a job. So I'm excited. He's going to share some insight because I know plenty of people who are stuck in jobs they don't want to be in, plenty of people who are stuck in the mindset that the only way they can make it ahead is to have a job or get another job. You got people who already overwork, working 9 to 5, and their only plan is to go and get a night job, midnight to 7 in the morning or whatever hours you want to work for probably less pay than you know that you're worth, and it's still not going to get you where you need to be. So how do we break that barrier? How do we get over that hurdle, that mindset that the only way we can make it today is depending on someone else to give us a job? We ought to be able to, I know people who are quite capable. You can drop them anywhere in the country, and they will survive. They will do what they have to do to make sure that they have what they need on a day-to-day basis until they can build up enough and maintain something that will cover them, their family, and any other important parties that are with them. That's how we need to be. That's a survival spirit. That's a mindset that a conqueror has. That's somebody who will not lose and will not give up until they win and until they reach the mountaintop. That's what we need more of. That's what we want to become. And that's why the No Romance Without Finance show is here today. We want to make sure that that's the kind of knowledge and information we're equipping and empowering ourselves with so that we're in line with the time and what we know must be done if we want to survive and make it. So let me give you all a heads up, because next week I'm going in. I think we've done enough. I think the No Romance Without Finance show has primed you well enough to be ready for next week's show. Next week, what we're going to do is we're planning a show that is strictly for the benefit of single men, brothers who are interested in marriage, brothers who are scared of marriage, whatever the issue is, if you're not married and you know you should probably get married, we're actually going to prepare you properly. What does a single man need to know to qualify himself financially so that he can get married, so that he can take on the responsibility and the obligation of caring for, providing for, maintaining a queen and a family and a household and doing what a man is put on this earth to do. Nobody sits us down and teaches us this stuff. Nobody makes sure that we're prepared. They'll tell us that we need to go ahead and step off the cliff, though, but they won't give us the parachute. So if the mountain won't come to Muhammad, Muhammad got to go to the mountain. We're going to go ahead and find the information, find the details and the can-do and the know-how and equip ourselves. What does a brother need to know before he steps up to the plate for courtship, for marriage, to prepare for a relationship that's going to impact his own life, the life of another woman in the future, and potentially any other children that may come from that union or may already be present in that union? Okay? We're going to tackle issues like what if a brother is already supporting another family? You know, we have blended families are certainly not uncommon nowadays. So if we have a brother who's already handling and maintaining, being responsible, paying child support or alimony or whatever the case is for a previous relationship, how do you prepare for a new relationship? If you got a brother who is an entrepreneur who's building and growing a business, as we speak, does he have to wait until the business gets fully established and, underway? Should he get with someone who's only interested in being with him after he's made it to the mountaintop? You got somebody who's not willing to struggle and grow and rise with you. Is that someone you should allow close to you after you've made it? Who knows? We'll get to the bottom line and we'll get the answers to those questions next week. So spread the word. If you are a lady and you're interested in a brother, this is the show that he needs to tune into. If you might want to slip him the link and do a polite suggestion that he tune in. If you're a brother who's trying to get yourself in position or you know you need to get yourself in position, why don't you make sure that you come right back here next week and tune into the No Romance Without Finance show, because we're done with the lightweight stuff. We're done with the skirting around the issue. There is no romance without finance, so let's get down to the bottom line. So with that being said, I want to share some of the insights that I've come across in this past week. And first and foremost, I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Steve Fox. For those of you who haven't heard in the previous show that we did a show that was geared toward the exit strategy, and that's where I got the theme song that you've been hearing over the past couple of weeks, Kindred the Family Soul singing This Is Our Time. The name of the song is My Time. But it's time, it's high time, that we get ourselves in the frame of mind to understand business, not hustling, although we do need to understand hustling because sometimes you just got to make it happen today and tomorrow. But to grow from there, understanding business, understanding trade and commerce, understanding how systems work, okay, that's very key and critical, number one, to anything that you as an individual are doing. You just have to understand how life works so you can be successful as you move and try to do what it is you try to do. But specifically, when you're talking about providing for yourselves and growing and establishing your empire to encompass more than just yourself and your household, you got to understand the science of business. Steve Fox specializes in market trading, systems trading, not day trading, not investing, not brokerage accounts or anything like that. One of the biggest problems we have is when somebody says something we think we already know. This man is an expert, a professional in teaching a simple system for understanding trade and commerce that can be implemented anywhere in the world. As markets go, as the stock market, the Dow Jones, the U.S. market, the U.K. market, the Japanese market, the Australian market, anywhere in the world, there's trade and commerce going on the regular, on the daily. And there are people who are making money and benefiting off of all of that trade and commerce that takes place on the regular and on the daily. That is the science of business. So whether the markets go up, whether the economy is up, whether the markets go down and the economy goes down, there is a way for you to benefit. It would be to your benefit to learn that system. So stay tuned in to the No Romance Without Finance show, because we're going to make sure that we bring Steve Fox back on. He's working on a great program, and he wants to make sure that black people get in the know. Okay? I realized something earlier this week, actually just earlier today. I was looking at a lot of the black websites, and, you know, the major media vehicles that we have at our disposal. You know, if you listen to Tom Joyner in the morning show, you know about Black America Web. You may listen to Steve Harvey in the morning, or for those of you who used to listen to Michael Bazin, you may still be plugged into his network. And some of them do an okay job of making sure that business and financial information, economics is, you know, put before us sometimes. But I was just looking at blackamericaweb.com, Tom Joyner's website, and I see a whole lot on entertainment and life and style and photos and dating and all this other stuff. Don't see nothing about business, nothing at all. So I went to blackenterprise.com. Blackenterprise.com. Now, look at some of the articles that were being showcased for this week. I grew up knowing about Ebony and Jet, and Black Enterprise was certainly included in the household I was growing up on. So I remember Earl Graves, and I remember seeing them big sideburns and watching them as they progressed over time. But BlackEnterprise.com has a bunch of wonderful articles on this week, and one that caught my eye was Torn Between Two Loves, How to Find Time for Love as an Entrepreneur. No romance without finance. You know, we're always going to talk about business, but we're going to incorporate what matters in life as well. We know about relationships and family and balancing them and balancing that drive to succeed and accomplishing, you know, grow the bank account, and making sure that that doesn't negatively impact family time and negatively impact the formation of healthy relationships that we know we need to see more and more of. So if you get the opportunity, go to blackenterprise.com and check out that particular article. So the title of it is Torn Between Love and Business. All right, Torn Between Two Loves, pardon me, How to Find Time for Love as an Entrepreneur. So that's one that's definitely worth checking out. Let you know about something we have coming up. Our main sponsor for the No Romance Without Finance show, Freedom Paper Company, is kicking off its seventh round of the Science of Business Boot Camp series. Ever since 2011, we've been doing these series in different parts of the country. We've been doing these 4-day or 3-day workshops. They've now turned into 4-day workshop, intensive workshops, where we take people and introduce them to an opportunity to actually own their own franchise, Freedom Paper Company franchise, distributorship. Distribution is a key and integral piece of any business system. Once you start learning about systems, you'll learn all about that. Distribution. You can come up with a good product and have a good idea. If you don't have a way to deliver it and get it to the people that want it, your business will go like so many other businesses. So the establishment of distribution points all around our nation is critical and very needed. We want to make a way for Freedom Paper Company, Freedom Paper Company products, Freedom Bathroom Tissue, Freedom Paper Towels to be in every mosque, every study group, every major city in America where there is a black community and where there is a need for economic development among our people. So if you know that your mosque, your study group, your church, your town, your country, your county, pardon me, your community, is not engaged in cooperative economics and something so basic and something that everybody uses like bathroom tissue is not available in your community, then this is for you. For 4 days, we're going to be talking about the science of sales, marketing, advertising strategies. We're going to be talking about how to penetrate markets. We're going to be talking about a specific blueprint to follow to establish market share right in your town where you are, something that's duplicatable and something that is being duplicated and has been duplicated in over 13 states so far. So I think that's coming up very fast, the 20th, weekend of the 20th, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. That's going to be the next class. Go to the www.Freedom Paper Company website, and you can find out more about that. Let's see, I know we've got loads and loads of details that I want to share with you, but there's just so much in the works. The Nation's Business Exchange, I got to make sure I say it right, the Nation's Business Exchange featuring various businesses and entrepreneurs around our nation is in the process. It's about to be launched. We've got about 1 or 2 more weeks while we put the finishing touches on it. But if you have not heard about it, you're in for a surprise. And if you know about it already, you need to start spreading the word, because if your business is featured on this site, we want more and more people around our nation to understand who's in business, who offers what, and where can we find these valuable resources and services. We finally got a hub. We've been waiting for somebody to do it for so long, and nobody's done it. So I stepped up to the plate. The Nation's Business Exchange is about to be launched. We've got about 1 more week, and we will go live. So that is going to be exciting. You need to stay tuned in to the No Romance Without Finance show to find more of the details. And we'll make sure that if you have a business, you have a way now to get that business known and get your products and services out there among the people in our nation and throughout our community. So with that in mind, I think we got about 10 more minutes before our guest comes on. I'm going to wait. I got one more announcement before we go to our break. One more announcement. Let's see. I've done a couple of shows in the past that deal with cash flow, okay? Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, he created a board game called Cash Flow, which is like Monopoly on steroids. It teaches you how to recognize opportunities when they come before you, and it also teaches you how to understand and accurately read and interpret a financial statement. You can do one for a business, but you can also do one for your own personal self. You can know exactly what assets you have versus what liabilities you have. You can clearly see where your expenses go versus what your income is. Now, when you start using language like that, it almost sounds like I'm using the B word, budget. A budget is not a bad thing. If you understand what you have coming in, what's going out, you understand where your sources of income are, and you understand where the holes may be, you have a mastery of life that the majority of people don't have. So this game, Cash Flow, is a great tool that I've shared on a couple of other shows and that I want to actually invite some of you listeners to play with me. We want to have a cash flow tournament. We want to see how well the people who listen to the No Romance Without Finance show are actually doing as it relates to getting our finances in order. We've been doing this show for about a year now, and there's been so much good information shared, and there have been several people who have taken that information and done something with it. So we want to spread that and make that number grow. We want more people to take the information and the insight that you're learning from this show and actually do something with it. So in another couple of weeks, get yourself ready. If you haven't practiced, if you haven't tried it out for yourself yet, go to richdad.com, check out where it says games, and go ahead and get yourself into the habit and practice of utilizing that game cash flow to educate yourself and raise your financial IQ, because we're going to have a tournament, and we want to see who's going to win a prize. We might have a very nice prize that's worth giving away. So if you enter the tournament, you turn out to be the most financially astute and, you know, economically efficient player in the game, then you ought to win something that's worth something. You know, we might have a cash prize. We might play for money. I don't know if that's ethical. I mean, that, hopefully that's not gambling. We'll have some kind of prize that we can make sure we offer people and everybody enjoy. But gear your mind up for that. And we've got a couple minutes. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back on the other side, make sure that we have our guest who's going to join us, Brother Dante X. Williams of Global Cleaning Services. Let me go on ahead and set it up and make sure I bring him in. Give me a couple of minutes. We'll be back right on the other side of this break. Again, my name is Vernon Muhammad, and this is No Romance Without Finance Show. Stay right where you are, and we'll be right back on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the Hottest Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance Show, and I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad. It gives me great honor and pleasure to introduce my brother to you all. I'm gonna give him some good stuff after I bring him in, but this is a young man, relatively young man, who I've been watching from afar for just a little bit of time. Echo, if you're not talking on the phone, if you're listening on the computer, please turn your computer down. Turn it on mute, because if I have you on the phone, we're getting a lot of feedback. I'll hear some crazy noises in the background. But I've been watching our guest from afar, been observing and admiring him from afar. When I first met him, when I first saw him, yeah, I didn't really know him. I didn't just walk right up to him and introduce myself, but I just saw how he moved, saw how he was quiet and very serious and deliberate about doing what it is he does. I noticed that he was a family man. He was a good brother. He was dedicated to a cause that was greater than himself. And then I learned that he's in business for himself, and he's been maintaining that business and the responsibility of being a responsible community member and being a family man and all that good stuff. And whenever I notice that, it just amazes me. I try to sit and observe and learn how you do all that stuff. So once I got an opportunity, I rushed quickly to see if I can get him to come on to the show and share some of his experiences as it relates to business, as it relates to family, as it relates to life, and balancing all of that. So on the show tonight, we have Brother Dante X. William. Brother Dante, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum, sir.
Hey, it's good to have you on board, brother. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, bro.
All right. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And tell us a little bit about your company, about Global Cleaning Services.
Yes, sir. Well, I started the company when I was 19. It all started when I was in the nation when I was about 16 and 9 months, probably about 17. And I was working two jobs. I used to work at Sears, and I was going to school. I was trying to pay my way through school, really. I was trying to be an architect. Well, engineer, basically. I was trying to go to school for engineering because I felt like at that age, in 2007, I felt like that our nation needed that because I didn't really see that, you know, being offered in our nation. Hopefully soon I still follow that dream, but I'm kind of going on another course that life has took me. But, so I was working two jobs. I was working at Sears, and I was working at one of the sites that one of the brothers had. And I just wasn't feeling it, man. I just, you know, grinding away, trying to pay for school. And then, you know, I looked on the TV, and the minister was saying that unemployment rates were so high. And then the messenger already had told us that we were supposed to go ahead and do for self. So I said, man, let me figure out something that I can do really quick and something that doesn't take a lot of knowledge. Little did I know, you still have to be knowledgeable in business. So what I did is I was doing well in school. I was going to a community college on the side, and I was getting straight A's, and I decided to leave because when I was talking to one of my guidance counselors, and they said, you know, we're going to get you through this. We're going to make sure you're doing good. He's like, we're going to make sure we get you a good job. And I'm like, wow, that's when I realized that college was a scam, you know, at that point in my life. You know, I realized that college was a scam, and that if you didn't, really, they're not really there to teach you, to benefit you. It's about getting your money, you know. And I realized that, so I said, you know what, I'm not going to waste my money. I ain't going to waste my time. I'm going to just go ahead and go do something for self. So my grandmother had been in the industry on the residential side. You know, when I was younger, I used to help her from, like, when I was six. You know, she would be out there by herself, and I would go out there to help her, you know, summertime, you know, buy stuff for my school or whatever. But that kind of gave me a foundation of how to deliver a service and just a foundation of cleaning. But it didn't give me the necessary foundation of business. I had to learn that on my own. I had to learn marketing on my own. I had to learn finance on my own and really how to run a corporation, how to run a company. And I'm still learning. I'm still, like, in a fetus, not even a fetus stage, but I'm like, the sperm really just hit the egg for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the point I'm at in my business, I mean, compared to the white man. So that's how I really got into it. And just to give some figures, I mean, it's very small, but, you know, at 19, like, I closed my first contract. You know, it was like $5,000 or something like that. It was 34-unit, apartment building. I was able to organize, you know, about 7 people. You know, and create some jobs there, and I was able to run, but at the same time, I was 19 years old. I mean, that speaks for itself. I mean, the corporation was a big corporation. They do luxury apartments in Washington, D.C. It was a large door that he opened, so I was able to close the deal, and we were able to finish the job in 1 week, and they were satisfied with everything that we did, but I did that at the age of 19. Not many people can say that. You know, I had my insurance. I had everything. I didn't make much money off the job because I had to buy everything fresh, everything new, new insurance, new everything. You know, I didn't understand the taxes. You know, I realized you have to pay so much taxes and all this, and I didn't know there was ways, different ways around that, you know. But, yeah, it's been a real learning curve, man. I've been on the grind, you know, really since then, you know. And it took up a lot of time. I heard you say balance. It took a lot of time for me to understand that this is not going to be forever. If I put in the time now, I told myself I'm going to teach my business like I'm going to school as a doctor. You know, doctors go to school for 8 years. I say, man, if I put 8 years into my business solid, you know, and I can go to the next level, it's going to free me up for my nation. You know what I mean? I used to think very small-minded, and I used to feel like I would have to be, you know, at the mosque every day. You know what I mean? And then I realized that I wasn't changing anything. And that's not the type of human being that I am. I'm the type of human being that wants to make an effect, that wants to make a change, that wants to live a legacy. So I realized, and I'm not knocking anybody that does that, but for me, I realized that the only thing that I was going to be able to do was make a change is from a spiritual and an economical base. Because I realized, man, I would invite so many people to the mosque, try to get people out. You know, I'd be sober, man, but they would always return, look at me and say, man, well, that's good, but you don't have a job. You know what I mean? How am I going to stop selling my crack if you ain't got no job? I'm going to stop selling my weed if you ain't got no job. So I said, wow. I said, wow. Well, this is bigger than just the spiritual part. So I realized that it was a physical part that needed to be met. So I'm working to balance that part out and hopefully become a part of the economic blueprint, you know, in some way, in some fashion, somehow. So 2010, I took my company. Each year I took it up, you know, financially to be better. Don't mean I'm still not struggling, you know, to, be where I want to be. I'm definitely not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. It was a slow grind to get customers. A lot of people say, oh, that's just cleaning, but there's a business aspect to it. You know what I mean? It's more than just cleaning. It's customer relations. It's communication. It's dealing with employees. It's dealing with finances. It's dealing with BS, you know, that you don't see when you first open up the business. So I've been striving to be patient. I've been through a lot. I've been mistreated. I've been abused. I've given my heart. I realized that I can't be everybody's friend. I can't try to save everybody. I can only provide them with what, you know, with what they, you know, going to allow me to. So, you know, I learned that I can't really just give my all to somebody. You got to meet me halfway, you know, because God don't give you everything. You know, you take one to him and he take two to you. So that's kind of what I'm learning, that you got to be people, you know, instead of giving them all because they won't appreciate it. So, I mean, along with that, you know, I'm a family man. I strive to be a good husband. I strive to be a good father. And many areas.
You touched on exactly where I wanted to go. You said, first of all, you mentioned that you started your business when you were 19, right? You said you started when you were 19?
Yes, sir.
And when did you get married?
I think it was 21. Yes, it was 21. It was 2 years, and that was a trial for me. You know,
that's what I wanted. We're going to kind of get into that. I mentioned that next week's show is going to be for, you know, single men who want to step up to the plate to marriage. But, you know, one of the categories that single men may be is, hey, you know, you're in the middle of starting this business and you want to start a family as well. How do you balance the two? How did that work out for you? You
know,
you're starting a fairly new business, but you're getting ready to take on the responsibility of a wife and the family. How does that work?
Well, Allah, I mean, honestly, the scriptures say, I'm not a big scripture guy. You know, I need to study more. But one thing that sticks in my head is that there's a quoting in the Bible, and it says that no man can close. Basically, it goes like, no man can close any door that Allah has opened for you. And no man can open any door that Allah has closed. So when I realized that, you know, sometimes, like I said, I told Brother Vernon at one point that I went 1,000 doors before I got one contract. You know what I mean? You just got to keep at it. You got to keep at it, and you just got to pray, and you just got to keep pushing. There's going to be days when you want to give up. It's going to be days when you want to fold, but your partner just has to be on the same page with you. Now, that's a struggle because you got to eat. You got to feed yourself. You got to, your wife needs clothes. Your wife needs this. Your wife needs that. And what I'm learning is that, man, it's serious business taking care of a family, man. That's a business within its own because it never ends. It never ends. And one thing about the business of your family, it never puts money back in. They give you the spiritual guidance. They give you the inner, how can I say it? The inner drive to keep going, but you don't get the money from your family. So you got to keep going. You got to keep grinding. It's not like you're going to get a check every week. You got to go out there and make your money. You got to go out there and create your money. And me being young and being black, you know, I got a lot of discrimination, you know what I mean, when I hit the door. But, you know, that's why I come. I never tell anybody that I'm the president or the head. I always tell them, I basically make it look like I work from this white company and I'm just the appointment boy or I'm the project manager. And that's how I get the bids. And then once I got to sign the contract, they obviously, I had one company, one big company say, hey, we need some proof that you're the owner. I said, okay, no problem. So I got all the documents to them, and, I mean, it was too late for them to renege. We already signed the contract. So, you know, they needed the proof, and they were happy with the job. And they said, wow, you know, they was pretty excited, you know that they were, I guess, a part of somebody young doing such a great job. They said, wow, man, you really came in here with a corporate image, man. I would have never kind of knew that this was your company. And that's what I tried to do. You know, I might have a Camry budget, you know, but I'm gonna make it look like I got a Rolls Royce team. You know what I'm saying?
I heard this quote. I don't know if I heard the quote from Minister Farrakhan or where I heard it from, but he said the solution, the antidote to white supremacy, is black excellence. And that's what you just reminded me of. You know, when you go in there and what you're offering is so professional and you don't take it for granted, oh, well, you know, they're just going to do business with me because I'm a black company. You know, in some instances, like you said, that may weigh against you. So you have to learn how to play the game and position yourself so that instead of focusing on what may or may not be an attribute to work in your favor, you can wow them so much with your professionalism and your presentation of a good, solid product or service. So that's a point that I hope that the listeners will take away from this conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, just your family, you know, it's a lot. You know, for me, sometimes I do get wore down because I don't really have that many people to speak to, you know, that know business, especially people my age. You know, I just found out about you recently, you know, that actually getting business, doing business. So, you know, I'll be communicating with you more because sometimes it's just a lonely road, man, going down this road by yourself. And it can be a lot of weight when you got a family, you know, when you got, you know, your children looking up to you and your wife looking up to you. Wow. Make sure you got that dinner on the table. And sometimes it causes challenges within the family, but your partner has to be on the same page. And you and your partner cannot be money hungry. The minister always say, you know, start small and grow large. And once you realize that, you know, you and your family, you and your spouse realize that and know that there's a goal that you guys are trying to reach, then that's when the trouble comes, everything is all right. You know what I mean? She don't mind just cooking bean soup for a week just until the check comes or till the payments come in from your customers because they decide to pay late or because you had a major tax bill that you had to pay and, you know, it messes with your home. So those are things that you got to, you know, on balance is create some type of balance with your house. And I'm not saying it's easy and I'm saying it's hard, but it is a challenge. And for the brothers that are doing business and want to be married, man, this is a challenge, man. It's a challenge, man, because it's like you should strive to build yourself first, but you'll never be where you want to be. You'll never be truly comfortable, especially if you always fight for excellence. But I will say this, establish something first and then invite your wife on. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenged. Some brothers haven't been married, you know, maybe since they got in the nation or however long, but it is a challenge. You know, in this world, there's a lot of pull. Satan's doing a lot of pull, you know, with the sexual desires. And I just say try your best to control that. You know what I mean? And it is a challenge, man, but, you know, seek refuge in Allah. At the end of the day, that's all you got. You know what I mean? If you upset, you know, with your wife and there's a challenge going on at home, if your business is not treating you right, the last person you could talk to is Almighty God. And that's the only one that's going to be there at the end. So that's the relationship that I need to continue to build, just talking about it, and that we all need to build so we can be successful. And right now I'm in my probably about 4.5 years, I say my 5th year. And every year, by the grace of Allah, financially has been better, learning different experiences. You know, learning how to deal with employees has gotten a little bit better. But I'm still having challenges. You know, I'm still facing with different challenges that I wasn't faced with last year. And by the grace of Allah, I'm hoping 3, 4, 5 years from now, you know, I'll be able to set up a major corporation to employ our young brothers off the street. That's my main focus. And to create more opportunities, take this money and create more opportunities. So, inshallah, you know, that'll be my goal to be met. But if not, then that was Allah's plan. So,
God willing, brother, God willing. I tell you what, I remember when Minister Farrakhan came to Bowie State. And although I can't remember the name of that lecture, the theme of that lecture was what we are here to do, you know, what living life really means. And a big part of the lecture that I heard was primarily about handling problems. Life is about handling, meeting, and overcoming problems. And once you overcome one problem, you're going to be faced with another problem. So you just gear up, solve that problem. He said, that's what we do, especially as men, you know, especially as business owners. That's what we do. We're presented with a problem, with a complex equation to solve, and we work it out. Islam is mathematics, so that's the laboratory or the classroom that we're in, and life is about getting better and better at that. You may slip and, you know, get some equations wrong in the beginning, but don't ever let anybody break your spirit. Don't ever let anybody make you feel like you're less than or, you know, incompetent or whatever. Just keep working those equations, because we know what our destiny is meant to be. So that's that's an encouraging thought to me, and it helps me to get through. And that kind of leads me to my next question for you, which is, have you found yourself or do you have a mentor? Do you have somebody that you can – I know you said you don't have very many people, but do you have somebody that's your go-to person when you have a question or something that you have to work through? Is there anybody you can tap who knows the way or knows the industry or, you know, can – get you in some doors that you know you couldn't get in for yourself?
To be honest with you, no. I mean, no. I mean, my uncle just now, he's a successful guy. He works for HP, and I've always looked up to him, you know. And he just was talking about possibly investing into the corporation. He was giving me some good ideas of how to really go to the next level. But a constant mentor that I can get on the phone with, call, that can guide me and help me to actually get into doors, I haven't been blessed to meet anyone like that as of yet. And that's just the truth of it. It's been a individual type of grind with the help of Allah. Not that I want it that way, but that's just how it's been.
See, the reason I'm asking the questions I'm asking is because there are so many people who listen who let things like that stop them. There are some people who, you know, they because there's no one to take them by the hand and show them, they think it's impossible. But you're maintaining it. You're doing it without somebody leading you by the hand, you know. And everything that you did along the way, you found out. You've either found out the hard way and you've survived. You never, you know, just because you encounter a problem or you encounter an obstacle or a challenge doesn't mean you succumb to it. It sounds to me like you bucked up and done what needed to be done so that you can overcome the challenge. So that's admirable. There are people who let the idea that, oh, you know, I have to juggle the responsibility of family or, you know, life in my community or in business, so I'll just drop the other two and stick with one. Or, you know, they don't even think that they can handle any of them successfully. So people won't step up to the challenge of getting married and running a business or being the sole provider,
you know,
whatever the case may be. So you are exemplary. Just you being willing to do what it is you're doing got to keep shining, brother. You got to keep on doing what you do, and don't let the storms that come take you under.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, like, I have to say this, man. Like, I have to say this. You know, in the mosque, man, like, we get so stuck sometimes, you know, that we forget the bigger picture. You know, by the grace of Allah, I was able to see the bigger picture. And, you know, we just got to be more, we shouldn't take excuses or anything like that from each other. We should encourage each other not to make excuses, especially as if a while. But, you know, I told myself, I said, I'm going to treat this like I'm in college. You know what I mean? Because it's really, it's one of the same thing almost. Because it's a learning experience, you know, and the greatest teacher is experience. And I thought to myself a couple times, I said, wow, like, because I've kind of got, you know, a little bit, just a little bit, you know, rebuked for trying to do for self. And we got to remember that, like, for the young people, that there was nothing really set in stone for us from the generation that left us behind. You know, I guess everyone expected for the minister to do everything. But I didn't have no farmland to come to. I didn't have a job that I could go ask brother that was really going to take care of my family. There was nothing set in stone for me to carry on or for me to take to the next level. I had to start from scratch. And I feel like if we would be a little more understanding of that part, you know, instead of being judgmental as if, why is this brother not here? You know, why aren't you not this or why are you not that? You know, and take it to like, wow, that brother is actually furthering his education. He's taking that to his next level. He's trying to take the nation to the next level. And if we come to that understanding, especially with the young, that's striving to do something, that's not out here selling drugs, that's not out here, you know, misabusing and mistreating sisters, that's not out here, you know, just doing anything, that's striving to do the life of what the messenger gave. I feel like instead of rebuking, you know, that effort, you know what I mean, I feel like we should, you know, encourage that effort, you know what I mean, because that can weigh on the toll alone, you know, when someone really loves something, that can weigh on the toll when the people that person loves as well, along with the mission that everyone loves, if they don't see him eye to eye as he's striving to see himself inside the mission, it could cause a toll along with the actual effort of trying to do for self and push forward in this world, which is not easy. You know what I mean? So I think we should be more understanding of that aspect, not make excuses for each other or allow each other to make excuses, but be more understanding. And I'm not pointing at any direction. I'm just saying from my experience as being a young FOI in the Nation of Islam, you know, and that's what I want to do. Hopefully, by the time I'm 50 and 60 and 70 years old, I can leave something back for the next man, for the next young man to take to the next level, whether it be my sons or whether it be my children or the young men in the nation to do something to take to the next level. They don't have to go out here and start from scratch, because if every generation has to start from scratch, then we get nowhere. We go with nothing, you know. So from an economic base, we got to begin to leave something back. And that's what the Jewish people do, and that's what Chinese people do, and that's what everybody of any civilization does. They leave something for their young to go and take to the next level. And once we get to that point, man, we will be unstoppable by the grace of Allah, you know. So that's just one thing that I felt that I had to say, you know what I mean, as a young brother in the nation.
Well, brother, I definitely appreciate that. I think you're so on point with that. And for the listeners who actually tune into this show, we got people who are in the nation, people who aren't in the nation, people who are in their church community, people who are in part of the Sunni Islam community or wherever it is that they are. And I think that you can you hit on something that's universal. You know, there's the older generation, the old guard that has carry the baton on to this level. And one of the primary aspects of growing up and, you know, becoming a man is realizing when it's your turn to take it and run with it. You know,
yes, sir.
A conversation that I was having earlier today was about waiting for someone to recognize you and tell you that it's okay to do what's good for you to do. And then realizing that God gave you a brain so that you can figure out when it's a good time for you to do what is good for you to do. You know, in order for, you're at the point now where you've got another generation that you have to provide for. So it's tangible for you. You know that you have to provide, and you know that you have to make sure that what you're doing today is going to be a benefit to them in the future. Because I'm sure you don't plan to fail in their eyes. You don't plan to let them down. So what you're doing now has got to be about producing a payoff in the future, something that's going to benefit you. So you got to be taken care of in the future, but something that's also going to benefit them so that you can pass it on. So you're on the right track, brother. I got to be honest with you. I'm so proud of you, and I'm thankful to call you my brother because, I sit around and I observe all the time and I watch, and I try to learn lessons on what's going to help me become stronger and better. And that determination, that drive that you have to succeed, protect that, guard that, don't ever let that get watered down, brother. That is going to be essential for all of those people that you want to help in your community, outside your community. And I say that to everybody who's listening, because you wait the same from, and you all face the same obstacles and trials, especially for young people who are in their 20s. You know, you run up against people in the 30s and 40s. They don't think you know what you know, and, you just need to listen and just do it the way we say do it. And, but that's one of the trials. That's one of those problems that the minister said life is going to present you with. You got to solve that. The only way to get respect in a world like that is to show and prove, and that's becoming more and more real to me every day. So you have to succeed. You're obligated to succeed and show people the way from this point forward. You know, it's time that a baton be passed off. Soon, if not right now, it's going to be very soon. So you got to put yourself in position.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you this. If you were starting right now, okay, we want to make sure that we're giving the people who are listening what they need so that after the show is over, they don't just say, oh, yeah, that was a good show, nice conversation. We want to give people things that they need to move themselves forward in their own track towards getting their finances in order and getting their business life in order. So if you were starting today, okay, knowing what you know now, what resources would you make sure you have in place today so that you can be as successful as you need to be in your line of work?
Well, that's a challenge. Money is always the biggest challenge when it comes to business, because I heard about all the grants, I heard about all that stuff, I never got one of them. So I'm not saying that that's not possible, but it takes a lot for somebody to give you some money, especially if they don't know you in real life. So just imagine that that's in business. Just imagine that was in business. So financially, I'm still learning that part. How do you get money from somebody else that doesn't know you? A bank.
Financing the business. That would be first, right?
I would say financing, and learning where to put the money, learning where to put that money is very important. And the biggest part that I always tell people, the biggest part of money that you need to invest in your company is marketing. Without the marketing, nothing else is important. Nothing. If you don't have marketing, because the marketing is what gets you the customers. So if you can focus your money towards marketing, then that's when you're able to actually grow your business. And when you continue to pour money into the company, which is the marketing part, that's when you'll be able to be successful. Now, how do you get that money? That's a challenge for all of us. But I would say, if I was starting today, and I was somebody that had a job that was working 9 to 5, what I would do, if I don't have a family, if I'm a single, I'm going to give you different scenarios. If I'm a single brother, I would get another job. Or if you have good credit, you got good establishment, get you a loan. Go to a credit union and tell them you want a car loan or something and use it for something else. Because they're not going to give you a loan for a business. It's too risky.
Right.
But they'll give you a loan for a car because they know that they'll make that money off that. But it's too risky for them to give you money for a business. And then what I would say is the easiest way is it's going to take longer. But until we as black people can establish those type of connections where we can go to our own financial backing, what I would do is if I was a single brother, I would work my 9 to 5. I would get me an extra job. And I would work that job for 1 year, save up as much money as I can, take that money and turn it into a business. Don't quit all your jobs right away. Take your business, whatever money you're making at your jobs, you take your business to that level where you're making the same money and then you leave your job. I didn't do it that way, but I learned and that's how I should have did it. And then there you go. That's your financial backing. It may take a year, may take 6 months, depending on how much money you make. A good $10,000 will get you well off to starting a good business, depending on what you're doing. Depending on what business you're in, it might take you $50,000, it might take you $100,000. But that's the best way, I think, would be to save some money. And if you're going into business together, you all can do the same thing, and it'd be a faster pace. If you have a family and you can't really take extra money, then brother, you're gonna have to get another job. You're gonna have to sacrifice some more time. But it's not forever. It's not forever. It's for 6 months to a year, but you might only get 20 hours of sleep a day, but look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. And those are the type of things you're gonna have to sacrifice. Because we gotta realize the conditions that we're in. We gotta adapt to our territory. And our territory says that not a lot of black men get business loans. You know, that doesn't happen, especially when you're starting out. So you got to create other ways. And that's the way that I would do it for anybody who's on here. Even as a woman, I would do that. I would work another job, work two jobs. And if you have a spouse and you both are working, you want both going to business, you both can save up per month. You know what I mean? Put your bills aside, get that done, and the rest goes in the bank. For 1 year, don't go to the movies. For 1 year, don't. I mean, you can go every now and then, but don't splurge as much as you was just to save that money to get open that business. That way, now that money is just extra money. It didn't take away from what you did. You just exercise more time to create a business. That way, if you lose it, because this is somewhat a gamble, but it's the best gamble. You have the better odds than playing a game of craps or shooting for the Powerball. You know, your odds is more like 100 out of, 150 to be successful than it is out of 1 in 1 million. So those are the odds you take when you take a business. You know, if you follow the right steps and do the right things and do your right research and understand what climate your business is in and adapt to that, then you'll be successful. So I think that's the best way right now, the time that we live in. I mean, I'm not fully knowledgeable, but that's how I would do it. If I was an average guy just starting out, that's how I would do it.
Gotcha. That's good advice and good info right there. Because one of the, again, we want to hurl the truth and falsehood and knock out his brains. One of the things that stops people is the fact that people have this right now. Well, it may take time. It may take you like 6 months to a year. You want to take some extra effort. So we man up. We woman up. Do what's necessary to get us over the hurdle, over the hump, then we may have necessary seed capital, that necessary nest egg to do something. But one thing is for certain, time is going to keep on passing. You know, you can let the next 6 months pass if you want to and do nothing. 6 months down the line, you're going to be like shoulda, coulda, woulda, and not have to move yourself forward. So why not put the time in? Why not do what's necessary now? So that by the time you get there to that finish line, wherever that finish line is, then you can make your decision. You got to put yourself in a position. Who knows? Maybe the work that you put in now may only get you halfway there. But just by you putting forth that effort and somebody seeing that, oh, at least you're trying, that could be what makes someone else decide to put in with you or meet you and provide the other half of what you need. Sometimes when you're looking for seed capital financing or a partner or somebody who will come in and give you backing, they're going to wait and see what it is you do first. You got to show and prove, right? That's our language. You got to show and prove and make sure that you are taking that first step so that somebody else can take steps towards you, meet you halfway, and then you'll both go on together in a strong position. That's very good information. I always, and oh my goodness, you touched on something that was so critical and key. I found a lot of information that I've shared out in my social networks over the last few months that talk about how important it is to put money into marketing. You can have the best idea, the best product, the best service in the world. You don't put resources behind marketing, not just, you know, blasting it out there, but an actual system of promoting what it is you have. If you don't put resources and money into that department, that area, you go nowhere. And you'll end up losing ground as opposed to gaining ground. You can't even maintain. In business, it has to be about constant growth. You got to always be conquering new territory. You can lose a contract overnight. So if you're not in the business of constantly getting new contracts, you're slipping backwards anyway. Marketing, you hit the nail on the head. Try to find a way to keep a source of fuel and income and resources going to marketing. That's something that's universal. I think that can be applied to any business, any hustle you got. You're the kind of stuff that sells oils and incense. More and more people have to know that you have oils and incense. So that you can continually do more and more business. But take that from the ground floor, take that to the lowest level of hustling, on up to the highest level of business. That's why there's Super Bowl commercials that spend $1 million for a 30-second spot. That's why you have advertising campaigns on airplanes and trains and, you know, anywhere you go, you find the same type of advertising, billboards, electronic media signs, whatever. Marketing and getting the word out there is critical. Otherwise, people don't know what you have to offer. And that's how we grow from being, you know, the brother who sells bean pies on the corner to the brother who has bean pies in different stores around the city. The big difference.
Yes, sir.
All right. We are coming up on the last 20 minutes of the show. And we got a few lurkers on the line, brother. We got people who are called and they're listening, but they don't want to join the conversation. I was hoping that the brave souls would join you and we would have some dialogue or insight. How was it growing up, or what are your experiences? Because, you know, as I talked to people about the show, I said, hey, we got three generations of entrepreneurs, you know, the grandmother, the mom, and now this, you know, this young brother. He's in business for himself, and they've been in business for themselves. What lessons have you learned about seeing your mom in business and your grandmother in business?
Well, my mother, she just really is just now really getting started. I mean, she's been kind of working for herself because she's a hairstylist, so they kind of pay food for it or whatever, and she's really now trying to push to get her own salon. But my grandmother, she has been in business for a while. But the thing that I truly learned about my grandmother is from her was not to work hard but to work smart. You know, she worked hard for a long time. She created a job for herself forever, but she didn't create a business. You know, so what I learned, and I told myself, I didn't want to be at that age and have to struggle like that. And I'm not trying to, you know, say anything that's incorrect about her, but I love her to death. And that's why I was helping her when I was 6 years old, you know, because it would pain me to see someone at that age work so hard, work so much, you know, and create this cycle, you know, that she became used to. But I decided that I didn't want to do it that way, that I wanted to create a business that works for me and not me working for it. Now, in the beginning, yeah, I'm kind of working for the business, but that's anything, you know, that's crawling. You know, anything
right.
That's crawling, there's a process that you have to go through. You have to become the sole employee of the company, then it grows to one, then it grows to two, then it grows to three, then it grows to five, and then it expands from one state, from one city, from one county to the next. And over time, it begins to create a business for yourself. So my mind was go big or go home. I'm not going for nothing small. I'm trying to go to the next level. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm trying to leave a legacy behind. And someone said, like, man, wow, I could do that too. You know, everybody is big on Martin Luther King or Malcolm X and you know, people that led, you know, led legacies. And I decided that I wanted to do something different, too. I don't want to be cut from the same cloth that everybody else is cut from. I want my main focus and my main point is to prove that Allah is God who came in the person of Maxwell Muhammad. That's my main focus to anybody that's listening, whether you're from Christian background, whether you're from where you don't believe or not. That was my main focus, because if I could prove that, if I could do this at a young age, and that's the God that I say that I serve, and there is only but one God, but that's the God that I serve, and I got it from the Most Honorable Muhammad, and I'm under this guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then by example, now I prove something. I just didn't say it. I didn't just spiritually say it. I didn't say, look what Allah has done. Look what God has done. Look what the guidance and teachings of the messenger and the minister have got me, what point it has got me. So now you can't say I'm a liar. You can't say that's not true, because I proved it. So that's my real, that's my soul. Down, deep down, that's why I really do it. You know what I mean? And that's what really keeps me going. But that was my, that's my main drive there, is to prove that to young people. Because a lot of young people don't even know the minister. A lot of young people don't even know the teachings because of what the enemy has done. You know what I mean? We're just focused on total wrong things as far as your age and the 80s and the 90s and the people that were, you know, in that time. Everybody knew about the Million Man March. Everybody knew about, you know, the struggle. But the young people my age and below don't know. So if I can prove them to that by example, because for some reason young people are, they're obsessed with money. They're obsessed with success. So, you know, if I can be a different type of star instead of a rapper or a football player or a basketball player, say, look, I can do it. You can do it a different way. Then I should be able to have some pull. At least that's what I hope. You know, I don't know, but God willing, that's how it works out.
All right. I like that, brother. That's right on point. You know, I'm trying to think of what's actually needed. You know, I see a lot of obstacles. I see a lot of hesitation. Let me say it that way. I see a lot of hesitation. And I like the fact that you, you know, that you put yourself in a position where this is all about proving that what you say you have with you is real. You know, the main directive, what we were told to do, accept our own and be ourselves. You know, step out there. You're destined to be successful. You're destined to overcome obstacles. So the only way to really say that that's real and say that that's true is to put it to the test. And I think that's admirable, and I certainly wish you success. And, brother, keep you me. I'm right out here working with you. So if there's any way that I can be of service to you, if you know, we can help one another grow strong, you know that my resources and whatever I have to share is certainly open to you. So I appreciate you coming on board like this, and I appreciate what you have to say, because more people need to hear this. And the idea, number one, that we need to be considerate of one another, you know, black people in our community, we need to be considerate of the fact that there are people who are putting in the work, putting in the time to build a future that's bigger than themselves. So we can't be so critical. Like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, stop wanting criticism of everything that, you know, looks like you or resembles you. Give the brother some credit. You know, you're doing a phenomenal job, as there are so many other brothers and sisters who are doing that same job. And, you know, as I talk about you, as I talk about your mom, I'm thinking of other brothers who are in the same line of work that you are. There are some brothers who are doing what do you call it? They're almost like being resources. You know, there are people who are who are shopping for cars, and I know of one brother who deals with specifically high-end luxury vehicles. You know, a lot of times the people who are selling the cars, they don't want to go through a whole bunch of hassle getting the car sold themselves, and the people who are looking to buy cars don't necessarily want to go through the hassle of qualifying for loans and this and that and the other. There's a brother who's doing that type of work, playing the middleman, you know, playing the one who brokers deals like that. There's a sister who is off into videography. She makes sure that whether it's weddings, whether it's graduations, whatever is needed to produce media that we're used to watching on YouTube or TV commercials or wherever else can be done. We got so many resources that are right here within our own community, and we overlook them, and we don't give the people who are working on projects the consideration that's needed. So I want you to know that there's a support system that's out here. You know, there's more people. As we get to know one another and as we introduce ourselves to one another, you'll find that, hey, it's getting a little bit easier and easier the more that we depend on one another. Community is a big thing with me. And for the people who've been listening to the No Romance Without Finance show over the last year almost, we know that the ultimate aim, and you heard a little bit about the minister talking about it when he went to Detroit. You know, if we can start positioning ourselves together, you know, instead of being spread out, you know, somebody in Virginia, somebody in Maryland, somebody else in Delaware and wherever the case may be, calling ourselves community, if we can start to come together and really form a tight network, a tight group of people that all lean on one another and all take care of one another, we'll find that it's easier to do some of the things that we do. You know, I ask you about a mentor and I ask you about some of the things that I ask, just to put the idea and the seed out there that, hey, we really do need one another, and we need to start looking for what we need in one another. That's the only way that we're going to make it and overcome the challenges that we're facing. I feel that deep within my bones. You know, that's a message that I try my best to echo every time I get on the airwaves. If we don't come together and start to utilize each other as the resources that we are and present ourselves to serve each other's needs, we're going to be forced to do it. So it makes so much more sense for us to willingly start to form those bonds between us now, really be brothers instead of, hey, brother, you know, make that word count, because I really am your brother and you really are my brother. My sisters that are out there, you know, people who talk to me, they get what comes from my heart. I treat my brothers and my sisters like they're real brothers and sisters. We have to be that way with one another, because in a little while we're going to be forced to be that way with and for one another. And if we don't get our act together and start really looking out for one another and helping one another get ahead, we're all going to be short. We're all going to find out that this is a lot harder than it needed to have been. So I appreciate you, brother. I thank you so much for coming on to the No Romance Without Finance show and joining me in this conversation. I hope that you can work with me to inspire your mom and your grandma to come on the next time, because I would love to have you back and, you know, learn some of what progress you made and what other lessons you've learned, and also have them on to share some of their stories too, because that's impressive, you know, to think about somebody who's been doing what they do for so long. You know, you talk about your grandmom and how she's done her work. What comes to my mind is that so many of our relatives, you know, I have aunts and uncles and, you know, grandparents that did that kind of work. You know, they had to clean other people's houses and scrub floors to work their way through college and, you know, do people's laundry or watch other people's children or whatever the case may be. And they did it and they did it and they did it because that's what needed to be done. You know, that was the only way that, you know, your mom and my dad and my mom were going to eat. We're going to have what they needed. So we got a debt of gratitude to pay to previous generations, and what we owe them or what we're going to pay them with is our success. So we got to make it, brother. I got to make sure that you make it. You got to make sure I make it, because we got to, you know, it's all on our shoulders. It's all on
us
right now.
Yes, sir. I believe that 100%. It's funny you just said that, because I was going to say, man, we got to find out some way that we all can come together and at least meet once a month. Just to, whether it's just to get some frustration off our chest, whether it's to, you know, reveal some new success that we have achieved, or whether it's just trying to figure out how we're going to go to the next level in each one of our individual fields. And then over time, over the years or over the months that we gain momentum, maybe we can pull our resources and do something together. You know what I mean? As a large entity. And that way, whatever we do together doesn't take as much effort, doesn't take as much time, because you have so many individuals putting in, you know, this amount
of effort or this amount of money to for one goal, and it won't be just on the back of two or three or four. It'll be a battle of five and 10, 12 people that have the same mind, that are not money hungry, that can share the profits equally, that can put in the same amount of work equally. So I think, you know, that'd be great if we could set something like that up and, you know, just become like, you know, really a over the out in our nation, really, or just even in our respected areas, an example for our people, you know what I mean, to do for self. And even really a unemployment, you know, center where the people literally come to us for jobs, you know what I mean? And then when you come to say, hey, I got the message of black man for you, they will not mind sitting down and talking to you because you changed the financial situation of their family. So I'm sure your pool will be a lot more different than it would be just walking to him up on the street with his drugs or whatever the situation may be for that individual. So I definitely appreciate it, bro, giving me the opportunity to talk. You know, I'm sure there's a lot that I didn't say that I don't know, but whatever I did, whoever's listening, you know what I mean, I hope that it may, you know, help you or motivate you to do what you can do. And just listening to myself, it just motivates me to continue to go because I wouldn't have got here without God's help. So thank you, bro. I appreciate your you're an invite.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Before we go, because we only got about 5 minutes before, you know, the say goodbye music kicks in, give us a last little plug for your business. Tell us who you are and where prospective clients may find you.
All right. We're at Globe Cleaning Service. Our address is 3213 Duke Street, 670, Alexandria, Virginia, 22314. You can also find me at www.gcs-company.com. That is www.gcs-company.com. Or you can contact me at 571-212-9910. We provide construction service, construction cleanup services on buildings with 10,000 square feet all the way up to 1 million square feet. We can do high-rise window cleaning. We do porter service, groundkeeping, and many more. We do maintenance services as well. So just give me a call if you need that type of service, and we're definitely into making sure that our customers are served properly and served right. So I appreciate it, and definitely thanks for this opportunity to share my experience.
All right, all right. And that's in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area?
Yes, sir. It's in the DMV area. I'm really focused right now in D.C. I haven't honestly, I have construction projects in Baltimore this summer. But, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, depending on the type of job and the size of the project, you know, we're willing to go as far as possible depending on the size and the type of job that it is.
All right, so we want to spread the love. All the listeners that are out there and the people who will hear this in archive, make sure you share the link to this show. Make sure that you go and visit the site, www.gcs-company.com. Share that as a resource, all right? We all promote black businesses. Black businesses get strong and begin to help our community. So that's what time it is. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you being here. That's it for the No Romance Without Finance show. We're going to wrap it up. We only got a few minutes left. I want to thank you all for taking the time to hear this. And like I always do, I want to make sure that you hear the call to action, okay? Number one, share the link to this show. Once the show is over, take about 5 minutes, and then the replay will be ready. For those who don't listen live, everybody likes to check out the archive. We get sometimes as many as 700 to 1,000 listeners who tune in on these shows. So we're doing something very significant here. Make sure that you pass the word on. Don't forget, next weekend, the No Romance Without Finance show, we're going in. If you know some single brothers that need a little bit of help, you know a brother that's interested in you, sister, you know, slide in the link to the show. Let him know, hey, this is the place to be next week. Get your money straight. What does a single brother need to know before he gets ready to step up to the plate for marriage? It might be good for married brothers, too, what you need to know to get your act together. But make sure that you pass that word on. And don't forget, visit blackenterprise.com. Make sure you tune into some of those articles that are out there. There are some wonderful insights on that site, from key ways to reposition your brand and make more money, how and why you need to assess your inner circle, family business, doing business within the family. There's a lot of good stuff on Black Enterprise. I got a subscription to Black Enterprise, and you know, it's wise, word to the wise. Make sure you plug yourself into the right kind of information and knowledge. Visit www.freedompapercompany.com. If you use bathroom tissue, if your mosque uses bathroom tissue, if y'all use trash bags, paper towels, if you have a dinner program, those little styrofoam plates, spoons, forks, knives, napkins, all that stuff is provided from a company right in your own community. So if you're going out to Costco and Walmart and Target and all these other places to buy from, that's kind of messed up. Support your own. Let's keep it in the community. FreedomPaperCompany.com. Make sure you go ahead and show your support for businesses and companies that are going to support you. And I believe that is it. Get ready for the cash flow tournament. If you haven't got your weight up yet, www.richdad.com. Check out the cash flow board game. Teaches you all about how to understand your financial statement, how to understand what the difference between a real asset and a real liability is, and how to grow your business so that it's taking care of you instead of you working for your business. That's it. We are at the end of another lovely episode. Thanks again to my guest, and y'all have a peaceful evening. Assalamu alaikum.